Well, I have to say, Shirley, I don't think it's been quite some time since we've had someone stand up and say, sing that again. I know no one's ever said that about the sermon. I know that's been said, you know. I think other things have been said, I've heard that. But that was tremendous. Shirley, I'm so thankful for you as a sister in Christ. And I'm so thankful that in that moment you were willing to share that with us. Because I think we were all blessed. We're all blessed by that? I think so, yeah. So we praise God for that. Also, I think it's a blessing that we have so many shoeboxes today. How neat is that? You know, it's always fun to watch that pile grow. And I thought maybe what we do is just take a second and we lift up a time of, just lift up these kids that are going to receive these shoeboxes. We'll pray over those children. I don't want to pray over a box, but I want to pray for those students that are going to receive this box. And we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit will open their hearts to the info that's inside. And that these boxes will do what they're intended to do, to demonstrate that these children are loved and that they would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and know the God who loves them beyond measure. So would you take a moment? Let's just bow our heads. Father God, each one of these boxes is going to be received by a child who is unknown to us, but very much known to you. And so we pray, Father, that you would already be at work wherever these boxes will go throughout the world, that your name would be praised, that you would be uplifted, that you would receive all the glory and honor. And we pray that every child who opens these boxes will have their hearts awakened, that the Spirit of God will speak through the materials that are in those boxes, and they'll hear the gospel presentation, and they'll be awakened to you, and they will receive saving grace. Father, how cool it would be to know that each one of these boxes represents the start of a new life for a child. So, Lord, we just entrust these children into your care and keeping. And we also pray, Father, for the transport and all those people that are going to help put all this together. We just pray that you would bless them in these days. Thank you for those who have given. Thank you for those who continue to want to give. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, last week, as we continue to look at some of the stories that Jesus knew, we spent some time in Genesis 12 and we talked about how Abram was called by God to leave his land and leave his people and his family and to go to a land that he didn't yet know about but that God was going to show him. And in Abram, we saw, Abram went just as he was commanded, just as he was told to. He left his home in Haran, and he traveled to a place called Shechem. And while he was there, Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 says that the Lord appeared to him a second time. You know, he had appeared to him once in Mesopotamia, but now he appeared to him a second time. And he said to Abram, "To your offspring I will give this land." So with a glimpse of the land that God was going to give him, it was like the Lord was kind of giving him a taste of what was to come. He had already left his land, his people, and his family, and now the Lord was just giving him one other taste of what he could expect. But apparently it wasn't time for Abram to receive that promised land, so he moved on. After all, he was a nomad, nomadic herder, so nomad's got to do what a nomad's got to do. And he kept moving on, and he continued to travel. But I have to wonder if, as he did, he wondered to himself, when will God give me this land? When's that going to happen? And then there came a time of famine, we're told. And that caused Abram and his family to have to travel even farther away from that land that God had given him a glimpse of, and he had to travel down into Egypt. They moved even farther away. Farther away. And I wonder if Abram thought to himself, "Oh, you promised me that land. You gave me a glimpse of it. Now I'm even farther from what you had planned for me." And while they were there, God protected them from Pharaoh. God sustained them through the famine. And actually, Abram prospered while he was there. He ended up becoming a very, very wealthy man. And after leaving Egypt, the herdsmen who worked for Abram and also worked for his nephew Lot, well, They began to argue among themselves. You know, they're fighting over grazing rights and resources. So the unity of Abram's family was being threatened. So to preserve the relationship, Lot and Abram agreed to separate. They're going to kind of go different ways. And Abram settled in that land that God had given him a brief glimpse of earlier. And again, we're told that God spoke to Abram, and he said, "All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted." Wow, that's a pretty amazing promise, to have that many offspring. They'd be like the dust of the earth. And with that, I'm thinking Abram probably thought to himself, things are finally going to settle down. But then, Abram's nephew Lot, he got caught up in a regional war between a whole bunch of kings that were fighting one another, and he was attacked and taken captive. So Abram went to war to rescue Lot. So I think it's fair to say that life hadn't been particularly easy since Abram left the land and his people and his family to follow God. But along the way, God had protected Abram and his family from famine and from the abuses of powerful men. And God had seen him through family struggles and preserved him in time of war. And in the midst of all these adventures, in the midst of all this tumult and this up and down, God was providing Abram glimpses of the future, reminders of his promises. And that brings us to our word this morning. So if you have your Bible, take a moment and turn to Genesis chapter 15. We're going to look at verses 1 to 6. And if you're here today and you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, please don't hesitate. After the service, you can speak to Kent or myself, or you can go to the Welcome Center. We'd love to give you a Bible. And make sure that you know how to get into it and get a brief overview of it so that you can be reading the Word of God throughout the week. So this is the Word of God. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abram said, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." And then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." And then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you for your word. And Father, we pray that the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing to you in this time. We pray, Father, that your name would be uplifted, that you would take this time and the word and you would move individually in each of us, that we would be people who are more than just listeners of the word, but people who respond to the word. Make us open to it, Father. Make us open to it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So, after all these trials, God could see that Abram was afraid. Shouldn't surprise us. He's the God who created us. He's the God who knows our every thought before it's even in our minds, before it's on our lips. So the Lord God saw this fear, and he spoke to Abram a third time. And he said, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Moses tells us that. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." Now maybe Abram was afraid that the enemies he had made while rescuing Lot would regroup. They'd come back and fight him again. And this time they'd beat him. And they'd kick him out of the land that God had just shown him, that God said you would have. And that seems a reasonable fear. Reasonable fear. But Abram may also have been afraid of something more than that. Because at this point in his life, Abram didn't have any children. And we get a clue to that fear as we look down at verse 15:2 and 15:3. Because there it tells us, "I remain childless." Abram says to God, I remain childless. And then he says in verse 3, you haven't given me any children. So he had no children from his wife Sarai. So without a child, if God gave Abram the land, as he promised he would, it was going to end up being inherited by a servant in Abram's household when Abram died. This was a guy named Eliezer of Damascus. So from Abram's perspective, it must have been hard to understand how God was going to be faithful to his promise. When the facts on the ground, when the facts before Abram looked very different. I mean, God hadn't given him a child. And to Abram's mind, God's promise to make Abram's offspring like the dust of the earth can't happen if he doesn't have any children of his own. And keep in mind that Abram was 75 years old when he began this whole journey with the Lord, when he left his land and his people and his family. And now he's just grown older. So it would seem that Abram was fearful that maybe, just maybe, God wouldn't come through. Because as far as Abram was concerned, time was running out. He didn't have the land. He didn't have any children. And I wonder to myself as I read that, I know I felt this way. Have you ever felt this way? Ever had doubt that God would come through for you? It can be hard to stay the course. It can be hard to keep on trusting in the Lord when life is full of potholes. Have you noticed that? Life is full of potholes. We had a pothole this week. We picked up our car after getting a brand new transmission put in it. It lasted 4 hours. And then it did that death transmission thing. Done. It's a pothole. It's a pothole. And sometimes life doesn't look the way we think life should, or even the way we think we deserve to have it look. When the road is bumpy and we're thinking God is limited to our man-sized visions, it can become very easy for us to be afraid. Reminds me of parenting. You know, when kids are young and you're feeling like you don't have a whole lot of wisdom, and it feels like life is coming unglued, it's chaotic, it's easy to think to yourself, how, Lord? How is this going to work out? How is this possible? How are we going to possibly raise good, healthy, faithful children? We don't know what we're doing. And the only ones who do know what they're doing are the ones who haven't had children yet. And I think that's because so often our vision is so limited to our circumstance. Our vision is limited to our circumstance. But I'm reminded that the scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. That's easy to roll off the tongue, right? God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. But so often our vision is so limited and so circumstantially based that we fail to actually act like God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. But God isn't limited to our man-sized visions, is he? Isaiah 55:9 says, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And Job declared in his book, Job chapter 42, he said, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. So God isn't limited to our man-sized imaginings. God isn't limited to woman-sized methods. And he's not undone by our circumstances. He's not undone by our man-sized problems. God's will and purposes and plans can and will always be fulfilled. Because he's God. Because he's God. The maker of heaven and earth. And he is more than able to bring about his will any way he chooses. And what appears to us as insurmountable, God can actually work through. So the question becomes for us, will we trust him? Will we trust him? Will we trust him so that we might see his faithfulness displayed? And that's a hard challenge. Because when you're right in the middle of it all, when you're being hammered and you want to trust God, but you think, I don't think his way is the right way to go. I don't think trusting him is going to pay off. We can end up missing how he's at work, missing how he's actually engaged in the midst of the chaos as we focus on him. When we take our eyes off him, we can forget that he's still present, still able, still God, still faithful to all his promises. And we get ourselves all confused. I've heard time and time again people talk about hard times they've gone through. Challenges in their life, right? Things that looked insurmountable to them. And then after they got through it, after they made their way through and they had been setting their minds and hearts on God throughout the trials and troubles, they started to recognize that God had worked there, and God had opened that door, and God had been faithful there and there. It didn't look like what they thought it should look like, or what maybe they wanted it to look like, but they recognized, no, he was there, and he was shaping and molding this. But sometimes fear gets in the way. And I think fear is so deadly because it can mire us to our own self-limiting expectations of how God could and should work. We think he has to do it this way because that's what I want. It has to look this way because that's the way that makes the most sense. But God doesn't have to work in our man-sized imaginings. And fear keeps us focused on that immediate circumstance. But what's so neat here is that God didn't leave Abram in his fear. And he doesn't leave us in ours. In response to Abram's fear, God says this. He says, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." Now, that word translated shield here can also be translated sovereign. I am your sovereign. And in other passages of Scripture, the word shield is used to symbolize a king. And obviously, a shield is also an item, a military equipment that's used to defend yourself against attackers. So it would seem that the first part of God's response to Abram's fear is to remind him who he serves. God is his king. God is your king. If you have confessed faith in Christ, God is your king. And just as good kings provide for their people and protect their people, so God, being a good and being a righteous king, will provide and guard over his people. So Abram doesn't need to fear that he may be overcome by his enemies or his circumstance, because God will not leave him nor forsake him. God has his good at heart. And Abram doesn't have to be concerned that somehow God will not prove faithful, because God is always faithful. Just as we're reminded in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake and they're surging, we will not fear. So when struggle comes and that fear begins to build up and we're not sure he's going to be faithful, we're not sure it's going to work out, he says, no, I am your sovereign. Remember, I am your sovereign, I am your king, I am your shield. Remember who it is you serve. Who it is you serve. So often when I'm feeling fearful as I walk with God, if I'm honest, I realize that where I've really put my trust, where I've really put my trust is in me. It's in me. And quite frankly, some of the stuff in life, some of the challenges in life, when I'm focused on me, do look big, because I'm not that big. I'm not that powerful. I'm not that wise. I'm not that strong. But in and about me, God says, when you're fearful, remember who you serve. Remember who you serve. And God also said, he said, I am your shield, your very great reward. Your very great reward. Now, that word for reward here means to be paid back or compensated. So what's God telling Abram he's being compensated for? Well, I think God is telling Abram that his trust in God and his dependence upon God is going to pay off. It's going to pay off. And if he will stand his ground and he will continue to depend upon and trust in God, he will not be disappointed. Just like it says in Hebrews 10, you need to persevere. Do not throw away your confidence. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you'll be richly rewarded. Following after God will prove itself to have been what you needed and what was best for you. Reminds me of my kids in piano lessons. I love music, so I required that my kids all take piano lessons. But as you can imagine, practicing the piano was something that was not easy for them, and it was not easy for their parents. There were times of great pain and sorrow in our home, times of weeping and wailing, great consternation. At one point, Karen called me and said, I'm done with piano. Done. Can't do it anymore. You have got to make this your priority if you want it to happen. And so the rule at home was, you may not ask your mother if you have to practice piano today. You just have to assume you do. And if you need some reason not to practice piano, then you need to call your dad. They never called. But through all the pain and the renting of clothes and the throwing of dust in the air and all the other stuff that came along with it, we soldiered on. And as they kept going, we noticed that their love for music kept growing. And they began to play other instruments. And now we see that all that time and that effort and that energy poured out to try to give them this gift has paid off in a great reward in being able to sit with my boys when they're home for vacation, grab an instrument, and just play music and sing together. It's an awesome thing to see and to watch how they're now using that, how it's unfolded in them, and how they're able to use it in their own church to be a part of their music teams or even to write their own music because it gives them such a rich reward in their lives. All of the hardships were worth it. God is saying to us, he's saying to Abram, I'm your shield. Stand fast. Remember who your sovereign is. Remember who your protector is. Remember who you serve. And remember, it's going to pay off. It's going to pay off. Abram was feeling afraid that God wasn't going to come through. But again, God was telling him, no, remember who you serve. And remember it's going to pay off. So, after this, again, we jumped a little bit ahead, but so after God recognized the fear and after he gave him a way of responding to the fear, he went on to say, Abram answered what God said, and he said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And this is where he showed his doubt, right? After God said, I know you're fearful, and then Abram said, yeah, and this is what I'm fearful of. You're not going to come through. You're not going to provide me this child. I'm not going to see the land, or the land's going to be taken, and it's going to go to someone else. But God spoke to Abram and said, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. God made clear to Abram how he was going to fulfill the promise he had made to him. And you know, God demonstrates, he gives us the same kind of clarity in the Word. The problem is we often don't read the Word. We talk about the Word. But sometimes we fail to get around to reading the Word. But I think if we read the Word, I think we would see God's promises and we'd see that the Word is often far more clear than we want it to be in our minds. We think sometimes it's much more esoteric, much more confused. But God actually has given us His Word so He might clarify our thinking, help us to get our heads right, to give us that little extra bit of information so we can make our way through. And God told Abram, you will have a son. He'll be from your own body. So now Abram wouldn't have to worry about where the heir would come from. And Abram knew how God was going to bring about the promise. Now he'd still have to trust God. He'd still have to trust God because Abram would have understood that he and Sarai were a little past the childbearing years. But God had given him just a little bit more to help him stay steadfast. And then, as if to seal the conversation in Abram's mind, the Word says, God took him outside and said, look up in the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. I like to visualize that scene. Can you imagine? Abram and God staring up in the sky. God gave him another picture to remind him of his promise. And I think it's a really cool picture to have Abram looking up in the sky, because no matter where Abram found himself, no matter where life took Abram, Abram would always have the night sky to look up in and remember what God had promised him. And I think, you know, no matter where life takes us, whatever trial we have, whatever struggle we have, whatever doubt or fear we have, God has given us his word to remind us, again, stand who he is, stand firm, remind us that he's our shield, and remind us, oh, it's going to be worth it. I am your great reward. He looks up in that night sky, and he sees he has an enduring reminder of God's promise. Kind of like the rainbow, right? You look at the rainbow, and you're reminded that God has promised that he will never again flood the whole world. And I love the unfolding nature of God's working in Abram's life. It started with an appearance in Mesopotamia, and that call to leave what he knew. And then Abram left, and along the way, God continued to provide for him through a changing landscape, famines, family discord, and wars, and his own fears and doubts. But God just kept walking faithfully with Abram. God just kept walking faithfully with Abram. He kept deepening Abram's understanding of how he was going to provide for him. And that's true for us. As we continue to walk and trust in God, God continues to unfold himself for us. The longer you live in faith in Christ, the longer you walk in him, the longer you stand firm and trust in him, the more you see him at work. What you know of God at the age of 25 is substantially different if you've continued to trust him and love him and follow him and see him as your protector and your sovereign and your shield. At 35, you see him so much differently. And at 45, you see him differently. And ideally, as you continue to walk in him, that gets richer and richer and richer as you continue to trust him and follow him. And you know, I like that unfolding. Because that unfolding is a pretty neat phenomena, because it reminds me that God doesn't have us often take on the biggest challenges in our life. He takes us through the stuff that's right here, right now. It's kind of like he opens a garage at your house, and it's full of junk. Full of junk. And you look and you go, oh, I can't, it's overwhelming. But you know what's interesting? It seems that God doesn't require that we go to the back. We go all the way to the back of the garage and pull out that stuff, the stuff that's been entrenched there for years and years and years and years. He doesn't ask us to do that. What he asks us to do is to give him the stuff in the front of the trunk, of the garage, rather. Just give me that. And we sweat and hem and haw over that. But we trust him and believe that he's our great reward, and we pick up that item and kind of hand it to God and say, God, see us through that. See us through that. And then he asks us for the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And as we move our way through life, we get farther and farther through the garage till we're coming across the stuff that's been there for a long, long time. It's been there a long, long time. But we've seen his faithfulness with each of the steps. And as we take each of the steps and we stand firm and we remember that he is our great reward, as we get farther and farther along, we're better prepared to be able to hand him the stuff that's been stuck back there for a long time. I love this unfolding in Abram's life. As we read the entirety of the story of Abram, we see him trusting God more. And we see God showing God, Abram, more of himself. And I'm so thankful that that's how he works with us. That's how he works with us. And then I picture as Abram looked up into the night sky. The scripture says, Abram believed the Lord, And he credited it to him as righteousness. God told Abram that he was his shield and great reward. And now as Abram looked to the sky, for the first time we're told that Abram believed that God said was true. It doesn't say he believed anywhere else. But it says Abram believed that what God said was true. And God credited to Abram. God added to Abram's account God's own righteousness. Can you imagine anything greater in this life than having God credit to your account his righteousness? I could never be righteous on my own, ever. I may do good occasionally, but I could never do enough good. I could never be faithful enough, truthful enough, kind enough, loving enough to ever have my righteousness be credited to my account and have it mean anything. But God took Abram's belief. He looks in the night sky. He says, oh man, I believe. And God credited Abram with God's righteousness. Now, if there's ever a thing for us to be thankful for, it's that we don't have to earn our righteousness. We don't have to earn God's, we can't earn our salvation. We can't do enough good. And to be freed from that burden, to be allowed to be freed from that burden, and then to have God's stamp of righteousness upon our lives, there ain't nothing better than that. Oh, what a tremendous gift that is. So here, I'm thinking this. So maybe, just maybe you're thinking to yourself, things aren't working out quite the way you thought they would. Or maybe you're thinking that life's gotten way too complicated for God to work in your circumstance. Maybe you're starting to doubt how God could possibly work in the family stuff, and you're starting to feel fearful and not sure that you can trust God to see you through. Maybe you're looking at a marriage that's broken and deeply wounded. Maybe you're facing some tough financial challenges. Maybe you're looking at the bulletin and you're seeing the fund balance come down. And you're saying to yourself, oh no, oh no. What can God do now? What can God do now? I don't know what it is that may rattle you. But dear one, can I start by telling you that you're in good company, because Abram, the prophet of God, the one who Paul says is the father of all who believe, he was afraid. And he was doubting that God might not come through. But in love, God recognized Abram's fear. And God waded into Abram's fear, calling it what it is. That's fear, Abram. I know you're afraid. And God spoke into his circumstance so that Abram could stand on and remain steadfast. And God does the same for you and I. For all those who profess faith in Christ, God does the same thing. And you're doubting in your fear. Be reminded that God's not limited to your man-sized visions. He's not undone by our circumstance, and his will never be thwarted. His will for Grace Church is quite clear. We're to be a light on a hill. We're to go beyond these walls and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with this community. And we're already seeing some fruit there. We're already seeing mops being grown. And we're seeing Grace Kids being grown. And we're seeing new families come. And we're seeing new people come to know Jesus Christ. We saw 1,000 people come out for Trunk or Treat. Over 1,000 people. We're seeing God at work. And yet at the same time, we're watching the giving come down. And we think, oh no. Oh no, we must have a problem. And I would say, no, 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 no. We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity. As a church family, we have an opportunity to go back and be reminded how we deal with fear. It's not to get off message. It's not to leave the path. It's not to walk away from what we're called to do. What we're called to do and what we're being reminded by God, and I believe in these days, is that we're to remember who we serve. Who do we serve? Do we serve a God that only works in small ways, or do we serve a God who can do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine? And because he is this God, if we'll stay the course, if we'll continue to seek his will for our individual lives, and we'll continue to pour ourselves out for Christ, doing what God has called us to do, continuing to be dependent upon him, continuing to pray, continuing to trust in who he was and is and will always be, then we're going to see God do amazingly more, immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. We have no reason to fear. No reason to fear. And when we do fear, be reminded who you serve. Be reminded that he's the great reward. So we serve a God who is strong and mighty, a God who is righteous. And he desires to work in us and through us. He desires to do good for us. And he seeks to preserve us in the midst of life's struggles and our doubts. And we have to remember that God is our great reward as we continue to set our hearts and minds on him. And he is in truth the greatest reward we could ever ask for or imagine. When we stand on the truth that God is our shield, when we stand on the truth that God is our great reward, we gain the clarity that we need to see God at work. He may not act as we think he should or could. He may mold us in ways that we never planned on. But he will be found faithful. And sometimes in ways that, again, we could never think possible. So let's keep our eyes on him. And as we continue to walk and trust in God, he'll continue to unfold his richness of his provision for our lives, and he'll provide for us the continuing evidence of his faithfulness. So may we walk through the days knowing that our Lord is our reward, and he's always faithful. Let's pray. Father God, I entrust this into your care and keeping. I entrust this church family into your care and keeping. And I pray, Father God, we'll remember our brother Abram. You're an awesome and faithful God. Amen.